Hello and welcome to another Woodshop Podcast with Mike Coffey of Coffey Custom Builds, Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks, and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find us all, as well as the podcast, on Instagram and YouTube.
Another Woodshop Podcast, episode 156, where we are totally got turned around. We are excited to announce three brand new flavors of AWP: the Mellow Mayo, Casey's Blast, and now Diet AWP, also known as Shop Sounds. What's going on, boys?
I'm sorry.
AWP Light.
AWP Pedialyte.
I didn't mean to bust out in laughter.
Pedialyte.
I love how we haven't done this for a couple weeks and Pete forgot the order of things.
I'm all turned around. We took a long hiatus, and to anyone listening to this later down the line won't know how long, and we're not going to say. But we're out of practice.
Secret.
But you know who else is out of practice, Mike?
The patrons.
The patrons are out of practice. No.
What a terrible transition.
Yeah, a big thanks to our out of practice patrons. No, thanks to our patrons. We got a couple new ones up in the army. We got Matthew.
They're just starting practice, the new ones.
Yep.
He is a VIP patron.
There we go.
And we also have Jotham McMillan, or Jotham. I apologize if I said your name wrong again.
The J is silent.
The J. Botham.
Awesome.
It's awesome. it's Michael Mike Tyson saying it. Michael Tyson. Heath Otham.
Otham.
Big thanks to our VIP patrons. That's Alex Copajohns, Bill Burkle, Daniel Bryson, Justin from Calvary Customs, Christian Tong, Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Matthew Hoff, like I said earlier, Matt Maynard from Patriotic Pines, Max and Mindy, not Mix and Mandy, Max and Mindy Coons,
Mix
Michael
and Max.
Flickinger, Mike Lydon, Square Splinter, Steve, I'm saying it wrong. Iadarola. I believe it's Iadarola. I have like 15 different people who are like, hey, you said it wrong again. The point is he's you know.
We love Steve.
We keep the show. Yeah, thank you, Steve.
We want to keep saying
your name wrong, man. I'm sorry. Iadarola, Laterola, Iadatiger. And then Alan. No, that's it. That's all of them. Thank you, Steve, and everyone else.
Thank you, guys. And gals.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No. They're awesome.
Otham. They are Jotham. You guys are Jotham.
Otham.
I don't know what we do from here. What do we do? Is it what's on my bench, or do we?
I don't know.
Oh, Pete, you want to talk about? Well, this will be on your what's on the bench. So I'm going to hit this.
What's on my bench?
Man, and I'm going to say.
You're not even like.
Pete.
Yeah,
hey, Pete, what were you doing last week?
Hey,
why did we not have a show?
Oh, we didn't have a show because you guys don't know how to use computers. And without me, this show literally falls apart. Either we have.
You ain't got to be so hateful about it.
Either we have a lefty event or. When things don't go right, they go lefty, okay? Or we don't have a show. Love you, Kevin. No, but I was on, finally, after 2.5 years of being married to Emma, finally went on our honeymoon. We went to the DR, stayed at an all-inclusive...
Denver Republic?
Yep, Denver Republic. Just south of Denver.
The Denver rest area.
The Dominican Republic. And we stayed on all-inclusive adults-only resort, just meaning it's kids-only. But what's funny is Emma, we're playing darts one day, and she won and got a shirt. And it says, like, all-inclusive adults-only whatever resort. And we're like, this just sounds dirty. Like, it's just for swingers and stuff. But it was really nice to just relax. I've never been on an all-inclusive vacation. I've never been somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, I basically sat in front of a pool, played video games on my Steam Deck, and jumped in the pool and hung out. And I did not think of the house, the cat, the shop, content. Aside from when like me and Emma were like brainstorming stuff, but like I just didn't think about anything except just being there. And it was, I have not been that disconnected from stuff in a long time. And it was so nice and relaxing to try to, you know, or not try, but to actually relax and like cut everything out, and came back refreshed, feel great. The weather is actually really nice here. Been getting fired up, but like came back to like you know, all the stuff that I have to do. Emma went right back to work, and we're just like, we're not right back to where we started, but like we're still energized, but like we just didn't have the hours to do all the stuff that we were excited about. So very excited for the next couple of months.
Time out.
Yeah.
Isn't she working full time for Petrie's workshop yet? Or no, when is that happening?
When she's done with teaching at the end of the year, school year.
Oh.
So until like June-ish.
But it's coming up.
Yeah, it is. So very excited about that because we're still just short on time for all the fun stuff. But we did brainstorm a bunch of stuff while we were there. It was in a way our corporate retreat as well, where we literally brainstorm what we're going to be working on, what her duties are going to be.
I mean, next year you could do stuff like that and write it off as a business trip.
We are talking this
business.
Year. This was literally half of it was a business trip.
Absolutely.
Thanks to my accountant. That's why I say get an accountant. They help you out with stuff like this. But it was really nice to just kind of brainstorm and put some stuff on paper about like what the duties are going to be, what responsibilities we're going to be looking at.
Duty.
And aside from that, came back, still relaxed for about like a day or so. You know, they say about traveling to other countries, sometimes you have belly troubles. I have some belly troubles still.
Montezuma's revenge.
It's not that. It's just, you know, I'm not going to go into detail.
Allen Poe's revenge.
The Denver rest area revenge.
Back. You had a bunch of that oil they used to put in chips in like the late 90s and everyone had anal leakage.
Basically, like, I'm fine, but it's as if like
I still have nightmares.
I have a spoonful of mayo like as soon as I wake up and then coffee, black coffee. And then hours later, like my belly's angry. So stuff like that. So I'm not going to go too far into
that's
detail.
That's a spoonful of mayo. That's like in that
Mayo's
famous
revenge.
It's in that that's a song in that famous movie, The Sound of
Music.
Music. Yeah.
Yep. Yes,
spoonful
that's the one.
Of mayo.
Aside from that, just been knocking out the rest of the landscaping stuff before it starts getting hot. Although last night it got down to 35, so it's still like getting really freaking cold here. Got down to 35 last night.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was it's in like the high 60s during the day. But next week's going to be nicer. We're going to do some planting this weekend. I'm really excited about that. Continued working on the print shop because I need to move some stuff around in there. I'm running out of space. And I realized that like Memorial Day is in 2 weeks, not even like a week and a half. And I need to make a bunch of yard games because we accidentally are throwing a large party.
Thanks for the invite again.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Mike is coming, and Justin from Call Me Maybe, April Wilkerson will be there.
Are you inviting Mike and not me? Is that what's going on?
It's not that I didn't invite you, just I invited Mike. It's different. I don't know why you're making this weird, Dan.
Kayla's going.
Kayla's going. John's coming.
The dog.
Well, Max, of course he has to be there.
Yeah, right. Well, it's his birthday party.
But yeah, so I just got to make a bunch of games because like we want to have some extra entertainment just to keep people occupied. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited. And then after that, apparently the weekend after that, I have a vendor event. So I got to make a bunch of stuff for that. So I'm going to be in the shop like nonstop this weekend and next week. And that's going to be super fun. So not a lot on the previous week's bench, but upcoming, I'm going to be really, really busy. Dan, what's up with you?
Well, I've had a pretty interesting week. I don't even know where to begin. I'm giving Jason Hibbs a run for his money. You guys heard about
anyone a run for their money?
That guy.
That guy.
you guys know about Jason's what would you call that? His
the building his inspector with... that didn't pass his structure.
So anyways, I'm making light of like somebody's demise. Anyway,
lowbrow.
I'm sorry.
Lowbrow.
on Tuesday morning, somebody decided.
Dan's on his morning 5 mile run.
You know, as I do.
Yep.
As he does.
Everybody knows that I love the runs.
So does Pete when he gets back from the public.
Hey-o. Only Did running I've done again? In a week.
On Tuesday morning, my wife leaves for work at like 7 a.m. And I'm typically still sleeping. The kids get up. Shocking. I'm at that age with my kids where they're independent and they can fend for themselves. I just need to wake up in time to take them to school, and it's lovely. Anyway, my wife leaves for her job. She works at a school. She's a teacher. She leaves for school at 7, and I get a FaceTime video call from her. She's like, "I don't know what's going on. There is a guy by the fence next door. He looks like he's dead." I'm like, "What?" I'm just waking up.
So you better get your poking stick and get out of bed. Right.
Find out I'm like, you didn't call the cops or nothing? She goes, "No, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I just wanted you to know." I'm like, "Okay." So I get up, you know, rub my eyes and put shorts on, and I go outside. And sure as heck, there is a guy laying on the sidewalk right next to my house, just laying there. And there's one cop there. There's one cop there already.
And a huge kielbasa hanging out of his mouth. He just got back from Ethnic Sandwiches.
No, they're shut down now.
That's why they got shut down. I mean, it was just too much.
Because of all the jokes.
No, so I peek my head outside, and there's one cop, and there's this guy laying on the ground, and the cop is like slowly walking up to the guy, just kind of like saying something to him to see if he responds. The guy's not moving. The cop gets closer and closer. I'm watching the whole thing. And so the cop finally just like throws down and starts giving him chest compressions. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, like there's 18 cops there, CSI, what have you. So I spent all morning watching this unfold while Isaiah worked in my shop. I'm like, "Hey, man, things need to get done. You go in there. I'm going to set up out here with a lawn chair and a beer and watch
you
this go
working,
down.
You keep working. I got looking to do."
Right? Turns out, long story short, two gentlemen decided that they would try to rob their boss's house. They called in sick to work to go rob their boss's house, which is up the street from
/R/anti-work.
Right. And it was just a failure. So their boss, he rents from his brother
manager of Taco John's.
Well, I don't know what he does. He may or may not be the manager of Taco John's. We could say that. So their boss's house, he actually rents from his brother who lives next door. So the guy whose house they were robbing, he was obviously at work, but his brother who owns the home was actually home next door. And he saw these guys trying to break in and he chased them off. And I didn't know this at the time. I was speculating as all get out on my stories. I was like, "Oh my God, there may have been a murder." Anyway, turns out the brother chased him down the hill, down the street. One guy had a heart attack while he was running away and died. That's the guy that we found out by the street.
That's not funny, Dan. Stop laughing.
No, that's instant karma. I mean, if you're going to rob a house, that's just the universe writing itself. I don't care who you are. Anyway, that was my Tuesday. Wait till you hear about Wednesday. And Thursday. Wednesday was pretty boring. I just did a bunch of Etsy stuff and been working on this porch swing daybed thing that has to be delivered tomorrow. Sorry, it's not gonna go. I got to deliver this thing tomorrow. Talk about like really coming down to the wire. It's going to go well, I think. It looks really awesome. I'm jealous, actually. I wish I had a porch that I could put a daybed on.
Don't you have a porch?
I mean, I got a deck, but there's nothing like to hang it on.
No, the porch in front of the entryway.
It's tiny. It
block everything. Yeah,
yeah, it would block everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that has to be done tomorrow, which is Friday. Yeah, I'm really coming down the wire on that thing. So I really shouldn't be here doing this right now. I should be out in my shop working on that. So I should probably go.
Lies. If we weren't doing this, you'd be on the couch.
Accurate. Anyway, Pete, you already went, so it's Mike's turn. Yeah.
It is my turn.
Mike, what do you got?
Mike.
Any dead bodies? out by your house?
You're not going to believe this. I was building a media console. I look inside the carcass.
Hey, carcass. No,
look inside the carcass, and you found a carcass.
Yeah. I've just been working on learning the new CNC. That's a learning curve for sure. It's a totally different world with that thing. Doing a bunch of cabinet stuff, getting cabinet stuff figured out, learning how to cut them on that machine.
Let's get your stories have something in common. You're also killing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let the record show that Dan, I didn't kill anybody.
I just want to be very clear that Dan killed a man.
I did not. He may have tripped over a piece of maple on the sidewalk, but I didn't do it.
Just by running and inhaling all the MDF dust coming out of your shop. Just went straight down.
We did it. We opened them up. Lots of MDF dust. Lots. Like an unnatural amount. No. Yeah, I've just been learning the new CNC. It's different for sure. It's a bunch of new stuff. So.
It spins the opposite way.
Right.
Everything's backwards.
I can push a button and it does left-handed. It's sick. Which is cool because I accidentally ordered like 5 left-handed bits one time.
Oh, Dan did that once.
Finally use them.
I did that once. Yeah.
I ordered 3/8 compression bits all left-handed on accident once, like a whole pack of them. I was like, I was too embarrassed to send them back. It was ridiculous. Anyway,
you should have been like me. I made a story calling them out and they're like, wait, did you order left-hand bits? I was like, oh yeah, maybe.
Oh, whoops. Yeah, look at that. Sure enough, did. Anyway, you have a good day now. Bye. No, it was...
these bits are terrible.
We built a... So, very quickly, we learned that the vacuum pump and the air compressor are very loud and extremely hot. The vacuum pump is pushing out like 160 to 200 degree air.
Good
out
Lord.
Of the thing. Yeah,
it was going to come in handy in the winter, eh?
We ran... Yeah, for reals. So, we figured out a way to... Anyway, I'll tell you about that. But we... We were running it, and it was like 62 outside or something. And I cut through 3 sheets, and I look at the wall thermostat, and it's 84 in the shop. I was like, "This is not gonna work when it gets warm." So we built the shed, we put the vacuum pump and the air compressor out there, and it's like, oh man, it's just like night and day. It's so nice. Insulated it, put one of those growery fans in there, so it like pulls cool air in and keeps everything nice in there.
It's crazy.
It was.
It just goes to show you, like, the bigger the CNC you have, the more, like, I don't want to say problems, but the more auxiliary costs you have. It's
so
crazy.
It's funny you mentioned that. Literally, we talked about literally what my YouTube video is. Yeah, I did a YouTube video on it. It's coming out Sunday about the cost. The video is titled. I mean, I should shut you guys the thumb, but it's like, are CNCs worth the money? And like the hidden cost of CNCs, that's literally what the video is about. So,
you kind of shouldn't over, start like, fires on top of your CNC. It's bad because you're in California. It's very dry season right now.
Don't. Yeah. Prop 65. You're naturally not
little pro tip.
Start fires. They can cause cancer. So yeah, we got CNCs running, figuring out some stuff, learning what we do and don't like. Big shout out to Justin over at Rustic Grain Designs. He helped me out with designing some custom boxes, drawer boxes and stuff like that in Mosaic. He's a bit more fluent in that program. So Mosaic's a pretty wild program. Anyway, doing that, we built a floating media console, and it is pretty beefy. It was 1-inch thick walnut. And it's 21 and a half inches deep, and we put it on a French cleat. And I was like, man, we got to test this thing before we crate it up and ship it out. And I'll tell you what, that thing ain't moving anywhere. Like, it is wild. We did like a 4-inch French cleat.
That ain't going
slap
nowhere.
Slap it on the top.
We like both pushed down on it, and the studs on the wall were pulling out. The French cleat is not going anywhere. So I was very shocked about that. I... designed a new bar stool design that I'm really excited to make. I'm going to start making the prototype soon. What's up, Dan?
Continue.
I'm just going down my list. So
how could you, Dan?
You said design, and I just remembered that I did other things this week.
Other things are always fun. Made a fun couple of trips this week, and I'm going to do some more. I got in a bunch of Claro walnut. A bunch of it. So much Claro walnut.
Like trailer... not trailer.
Multiple trailers full.
Yeah,
trailers full. I got multiple bowls of Claro, multiple pallets of Claro Dimensional, and then I also got Eucalyptus Dimensional, which is...
That looks sexy.
Dude, it's the chatoyance, the checkering in it is so
What did you
pretty.
Call me?
It's unreal. Yeah, it's like you heard super him. Heavy. Like it's. I don't know what the Janka is. I'm actually going to look that up right now. But it's so freaking pretty. Like, it's such pretty wood, and it's good for exterior because
it reminds me a lot of like sapele cross with like African mahogany. Look. Yeah,
yeah.
But from what you're talking about, like it's denser because mahogany is a pretty light.
Yeah, it's
light
pretty
wood.
Soft, easy to tool. This stuff's pretty tough to tool. It says that on this site here that it's...
Mike, somebody's stealing your truck behind you.
Oh, they're getting stuff. it says it's 1,250 on the Janka, so that's actually not as hard as I would have guessed it was. But it's very dense and heavy, and I think it's because of all the oils that are in it.
Didn't you cut down a eucalyptus tree last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
did you save that?
Talk to a sawyer. I actually just talked to a local sawyer. He's going to be coming out here and slabbing that up for me pretty soon. So Tom Sawyer's coming on out.
I hate this show.
His buddy Huck going to come out and help him.
And they're going to paint the guy his fence.
Yeah, then they're going to paint my deer fence. It's going to be a very thin white. No. Yeah, with rollers, they're not even going to spray it. Barbed wire fence is all white.
Tom Sawyer 2021.
What was it? Oh, yeah. Anyway. Doing a bunch. I had a thing where I had to get a hold of my place where I kiln wood normally is not doing public kilning anymore for reasons, but I had to find a new place. So I got a new relationship with a guy, and he's got an awesome operation. Like he's got a 72-inch mobile Lucas mill with a swing blade to make dimensional lumber off in the field. He's got the iDry Plus. And he's got a big old wood miser stationary mill. I had a potential client reach out. They had three black oaks come down, which are in the white oak family. But they look like white oak, but the like slivery grain in white oak, that is black instead of white. It's interesting. So it's really pretty stuff. But they had three and they were like 52 inch diameter black oaks. They're huge.
Good Lord.
They're massive cool. White, black oaks. Anyway, this guy was able to go out there. I got him contracted to go out there and slab up all the stuff. They got like 25 slabs out of these trees. It's beautiful wood. Somebody making them a dining table and a couple other things out of it in like a year because it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, check back in when
yeah, it's like 9 months of air dry and then like a month of vacuum kiln dry time. But anyways, with that, I wanted to mention that they are trying to sell some of those slabs. So if anyone's local or not local and wants some massive black oak slabs, reach out to me for
free
sure.
Shipping.
So. Yeah,
if free
shipping
yourself.
Will be built into the price of wood. and yeah, I've got like it's just really pretty wood. It's gonna make some pretty tables too. It's super clear too. It was like almost no rot, except for in one three logs there was rot in a spot. But and then yeah, I picked up I got two pallets of Claro walnut veneer, and I'm grabbing more. I ordered a vacuum press system so I can start doing my own veneer work. I'm really excited about doing veneer work.
Claro walnut skateboards?
Yeah, that'd be sick. I have a design for a table. You know how you see them when they'll cut the and it looks like a starburst out, like
yes.
Tight triangles? I want to do that with this stuff really bad. So I want to substrate it over MDF and then do a Claro walnut table like that. So I want to do that real bad. So, and then I've got a lathe coming next week, which is crazy. I'm really excited about the lathe.
You know what that's a lathe is, right? Fun. You didn't like order the wrong tool? Like it spins.
No, I know what a lathe is. I've been wanting a lathe to play with for a long time.
Yeah, you've been talking about it for a decade.
Connects to your new CNC or
I got that coming next week too. I have a fourth axis lathe coming for the CNC
next week.
But yeah, I'm super excited about that. I designed this table base that is all turned. The whole base is It's like a mid-century modern, all spindle legs, basically. It's a spindle base, and the CNC will spin the pieces and cut it, and it'll also cut the mortise and tenons.
What?
It's sick. It's sick because it's on a fourth axis. So it'll cut the mortise into the side, and it'll cut the tenon off the other one. I'm so pumped for it. So cool. I drew it up in Shaper 3D, and I just export the file.
It's not real woodworking.
No, it's not. It's manufactured woodworking for sure. But I'm so pumped about it. It's going to be sick. Made some pencil trays for my son's school. That was fun. and then I'm making some custom boxes right now, which I'm actually having a lot of fun with those. They're just dovetail boxes that I'm doing.
Hand cut?
One's for... Yeah, I'll use my hands on the panda router to cut it. And No, not hand cut. It's on the panty router. I wanted to make it look good, not make it look like I did it by hand.
Panty router.
So I can't do it well. So I got the panty router set up for that, but I'm doing that. I'm a retiring cop. This is a job I've had for a while. We finally landed on a design, so it's going to be sick. And then another special present that I'm not going to talk about. But anyway, I'm having fun with boxes right now. So I have a very exciting... Well, I think it's an... like I said earlier, I'm doing a YouTube video coming out on Sunday talking about the costs of CNCs. I think, like, Peter and I have really, like, figured out our... I don't know what's the word. Not equation, but, like, how we're doing our videos now. Like, we're really, really getting this dialed. The last video we did not do well at all. It was way, way, way too niche. But it was about milling brass. Like, who's going to... No one cares about that. But I mean, I did. I was excited about it, so we did a video on it. But like how we're doing our videos, we're really starting to figure it out. And I'm just getting, every week I get more and more excited about YouTube. So anyway.
But you never know with YouTube. That could take off like in a couple months. Like,
yeah, who knows? It might. It may never. I mean, we're just like, really, these like videos are just us figuring things out. Like the videos that end up doing well, we're like, oh, and then why did that do well? And then we start doing some research like, oh, that's what people want to see.
That's what they want to see.
And then we're trying to pull. Yeah, we're like, oh, that's what we're pulling from. So anyways, that's what I got going on. It's busy right now. I'm excited about all the some new tooling coming in. Oh, I ordered that bamboo X1 carbon thing. I want to do some shop jig stuff. So mostly I want to like just make some stuff for in the shop. Like I have some, honestly, I just really want to get.
Are you talking about those bulk bamboo cutting boards you can buy off Amazon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
oh my gosh. Those would be so nice.
Keith just got his in the mail today, I think, or yesterday. I'm going to go help him set it up tomorrow. Or
Saturday. Is there much setup to that?
Just
like getting familiar with it.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's going to be fun to have in the shop for sure. Dan, you had something else?
Oh, no. Yeah, when you were talking about designing, it just like rang a bell. I've been playing around with Canva and designing t-shirts and stuff. So I'll be launching some t-shirts. Actually, I just launched.
Out of a cannon?
Yeah, right out of a cannon. A t-shirt cannon, if you will.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be adding some t-shirt designs to my Etsy store because gotta make that money. And I enjoy like designing silly little t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Cool. Awesome. I guess we can jump into VMs.
Whoa.
That's the voice Miley's. The first one is from Kameve.
Kamehameha
von Strayhorn.
Kamehameha.
Kamani von Strayhorn. Yeah. King Kamehameha.
Hey, guys. This call is for Deputy Dunlap and the boys. if you had to protect and serve in your neighborhood and make handcuffs out of wood, what wood would you choose for handcuffs and why?
Pete, wooden handcuffs.
Baltic birch.
What?
Huh. He didn't say you can't use plywood. Can't I mean, listen, plywood's probably going to be the strongest. No grain direction to break it.
Nah.
Well, Dan, what would you say?
Hickory dickory dock. Hickory. I'd use hickory because it's hard as a rock. Look at me. Rhyming and stuff. What, I'd use hickory or maple, country? Actually. Yeah.
Hard as Iraq?
Because they're going to get splinters trying to get them out.
Ooh, actually, that's
I like that, actually. That's
a little pain.
Yeah. It's a little hands out of that. It's a little torturous. I like it.
A little dirt. A little dark.
A little dark.
Coco
Bolo. So
write that down. Write that down, Kimani, and put them on your Etsy store. Wenge handcuffs.
Wenge is a B for splinters, man. I've been working with Wenge a lot because people like that stuff. It is the worst for splinters, dude. The worst. I don't know if you guys have actually worked with it.
Yeah, I have worked.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. The next one is from Tomas. He's from the Dominican Republic.
French. Hey guys, first, sorry for the lack of voicemail for the last few weeks. I was actually in the UK getting married. Speaking of rings, now that I wear one I care about, I keep worrying in the shop I'm going to scratch it. Do you have any good tip about avoiding damaging it? Do you just remove it, or should I just accept the fact that it won't stay intact for long? For the second question, I've been woodturning a lot last week for Maker Faire, and at the end of the day, I had so much shaving ending up in my pockets. Any tips to have clean pockets at the end of the day? All right, bye guys.
Dan, any thoughts on rings and turning?
Yeah, his question was, what can he do with his wedding ring and how to keep his pockets clean during turning? Let me hit on the wedding ring. I recently got rid of my tungsten carbide ring. Just not only is it dangerous to have a metal wedding ring in the shop because you can deglove your finger, which isn't pretty. Look it up.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty. It's basically ripping all the skin off your finger. So if you can, and if you're into that sort of thing, I would suggest getting a silicone ring. If you're watching the YouTube video, I'm holding one up. I actually wore this for a while, but I actually don't like the feel of it. It's a texture thing for me. So I haven't been wearing a wedding ring for a month or two now. But you're really pushing the line wearing a metal wedding ring in the shop, I think. I mean, a lot could go wrong, and just it's not good. As far as the keeping your pockets clean, I have no idea, man. Wear your pants backwards, crisscross. Pete?
So I also have a tungsten carbide wedding band, actually, and I partially on a suggestion from you guys, because you guys had recommended them, and I love it because it just doesn't scratch or get beat up. But that being said, if I'm ever moving around like heavy wood or something large, or I know I'm going to be swinging a hammer or like working with some bigger material, or even like moving big sheets of plywood, I take the ring off and I put it on a carabiner and just like clip it to the lev rack. Because like anytime if a heavy board falls on your hand, that ring is going to squish and it cuts off the circulation of your finger. That's another thing that could happen. And you basically, it's stuck on there, and the only way to get it off is to cut it off or whatever. But
fun fact, you can't cut off tungsten carbide.
Yeah.
You have to break it.
Yeah. So no bueno. So I try to take it off whenever I do. I got a bunch of those, whatever, the silicone wedding bands. And for a while it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to put it on when I'm in a shop. Like there's no like single ladies coming into my shop. They're like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, he's got a ring. Okay. Never mind. Like you can take the ring off. Yeah. Unless, you know,
I came to that conclusion myself. Like, yeah. Nobody's lining up at Dan's door anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
They used to, but not anymore. So I don't need a ring.
They are. But it might be Dan. You know, don't sell yourself short.
No. Although Mrs. Dunlap needs to still wear a ring. Because
yeah. Well, yeah, of course. The wives have to. Whatever. However, as far as the whole how to keep your pockets clean, a lot of people turn in these like, they're almost like smocks, like painting smocks. So it's like, and if you don't have one, Emma taught me this the other day because I gave her one of my oversized shirts because I started losing weight. Yay. And I gave her like my like XL whatever button up. And she's like, oh, when we were in high school for art class, they didn't have like smocks for painting. They just had oversized like dress shirts that they would wear backwards. So that's something you could do. Literally like an oversized shirt, wear it backwards. It's a nice high collar up on the neck, so you're not getting stuff down the
I think now would be a good time to like pump Michael for Calavera Tool Works. Get a nice apron.
Apron's still like, you can still get your pockets exposed.
But you can wrap it around your pockets.
Well, I guess if it goes far enough.
Keeps your pockets covered.
I'm talking about the ones that like, you know,
suggestion.
Like a workout tee that almost shows your nipples. Those aprons are a little too small. But yeah, they make like turning shirts or smocks or whatever you want to call it. Your French, they paint a lot, so there's probably something in a store for painters.
Keep them from painting.
Michael?
Don't wear a ring in the shop.
Yeah.
Smart. Just don't do it. You're asking for trouble. And I would say wear an apron, or this is what I do. So if I'm not wearing my apron, and I take everything out of my pockets, and I take my compressed air, and I just shoot my pockets real quick, and it blows all the sawdust out of there.
Plus, it feels good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It's a nice little quick AC unit in your pants. It's not the worst. So that's my
thing. Or turn your pockets inside out.
Kind of,
yeah. Like a rabbit. Kiss yeah. the rabbit.
Oh, no. Yeah. I knew it was coming too. I could see it for like a half a mile away.
Like, oh, see the gear.
Makes that joke. I set it up. Yeah, I set it up for a reason.
You sound like Elmer yeah, Fudd there. Hunting rabbit.
oh, no. Get an apron and pour your pockets out. The next one's from Nicholas Von Pacia.
Hey, guys. Nick from The Working Green. Quick question for you. If you were a professional wrestler, what would your name be?
Oh, I didn't think of this.
Oh, I forgot about this stupid question that I had to answer. Mike the Punisher Mendoza.
Lame.
Yeah, well, that's lame. I'm not going to go by my legal name. I'm going to go by Mendoza. Mike the Punisher Mendoza.
If Pete's isn't like Polish based, I'm quitting.
Oh yeah, no, I was I couldn't think of anything.
Piotr
but
the Scroat.
Definitely.
well, there's the show title.
Definitely like some kind of like Soviet Eastern European themed like military officer type thing. Like the Peternator or the
you look
Kaparsky.
Like Cammy from Street Fighter or whatever.
Hey. You touched on one of my kinks. Careful.
Yeah. And like my two like or my shirt of course has like the hammer and a sickle or something. I don't know. it's something, it has to be something with a ski in there. I don't really think of a good name.
A sickle.
Dan?
Oh. Well, I mentioned this in the pre-show, and I'm sticking with it because it's fire. Macho Man Dan D. Savage. It has to be.
You dandy.
Well, Macho Man Randy Savage has passed on, so somebody needs to carry the torch, and that's going to be me.
I still like Taco John's Libre.
If you could come up with like a Casey's Pizza wrestler name.
Oh, you should
probably
be. You should be like the mayor, but it's mayo.
Steve,
so like you're
the mayor.
You're just like a big mayo jar, but you have a mayor hat.
Dan the mayor.
Mayor.
The mayor.
You've been mayoed.
Yeah, he like hits you with a chair and then opens up a jar of mayo and just slowly
dumps
just
it on your head.
Not even a jar one, just like a squeeze one.
And you slowly
like
suffocate.
Like a stupid hat or whatever. All right.
Or it's under the hat. Exactly. That's what it is. He takes the hat off and there's a bottle of mayo. It's a top hat.
He has a top hat?
Yeah. A top hat. Like yeah. A mayo top hat, yeah.
But he doesn't take it off. Yeah. He opens a trap door on the front of it and pulls out the mayo. this is all logical.
So dumb.
And makes sense.
Like how Dan has like six names and me and Mike were like, nah.
I'm just know. Mike. The Punisher Mendoza.
Mendoza.
Bender Bending Rodriguez over here. Yeah,
Bender Bendington Rodriguez.
So dumb.
Jake, speaking of so dumb, Jake Miller called in. He's got a very good question, I think.
Oh, God.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jake from A Sweet Shop. And just calling in to see kind of what your guys' thoughts were on the economy. Not to get into anything political by any means, but I'm sure a lot of us are kind of seeing the writing on the wall that, you know, things are kind of going downhill to a certain degree with the economy. And wanted to see if you guys were changing anything as far as your pricing strategies, anything with how you're marketing and how you're handling your business to be able to keep going in case things do go downhill. So be interested to see what you guys think. And yeah, thanks, guys.
Dan?
I feel like I don't do enough revenue to worry about the economy. I don't think the economy affects what I do. Then again, I haven't like really done this long enough to make any sort of comparison. So it's tough for me to answer that. I will say that I have a bidet, so I don't have to worry about the toilet paper shortage. That's taken care of. If there were to be a toilet paper shortage again, I'm good there. So I'm very happy. I really don't have a good answer. Maybe these guys can make me sound dumb. So, Mike, you want to weigh in on this?
I think it would be... If you have a business, I think it would be short-sighted, I think is the best word, to not at least look at the writing on the wall and be concerned. I just think that it is concerning what is happening with these banks collapsing. It's very indicative of last time, or very similar to last time, I would say. Large banks gobbling.
Are you talking about in 2008?
Yeah.
Well, also recently with these.
No, like he's comparing what's happening now to 2008. Now,
but like, I think it's not when the economy is doing really well. That stuff's not happening. Yeah. Obviously, these banks leveraged their holdings on unstable funds, and they made stupid mistakes. So, I think it's concerning. I also think that the majority of the effect is happening to the tech industry. And I also think that these tech industry layoffs are a knee-jerk reaction from like one big there's like three main companies that kind of monkey see, monkey do. And it's Apple doesn't do it. Google, Amazon, and what's the other big one? But anyway, Airbnb always following along suit. When one starts to
Bing,
Facebook.
Oh,
Facebook. Facebook, Google, and Amazon. These three, like, when one does thing, the other one does kind of a thing. They all fall in suit with each other. And I'm sure that there is – everyone's seeing the writing on the wall with these – especially in the tech sector. I mean, in the last, like, 5 months, like, 300,000 people in the Bay Area have lost jobs or something like that. But I feel like the majority of it is in that sector. It feels like a lot of – tech bros and stock bros are the ones getting hit the hardest. I think that there's definitely pinching happening across the board, but I'll be really honest. I'm seeing the similar amount of, I wonder if I can talk about this. I'll try to talk about this in a way that doesn't. So I'm seeing the similar amount of requests from residential and smaller commercial clients. Now the large contracts that I have, the bigger companies seem to be reacting, I don't want to say a knee-jerk way because I don't run their business and I don't know how their stuff works. So I don't want to be like, I know better than X company who's a national retailer or something like that. Because I just don't. I don't know their business well enough. But I will say that my national clients are very much, they've cut projections by a lot. And they don't think people are going to be spending as much on their stores. And apparently they're not spending that much on their stores because they are not ordering that much stuff. So something's happening. But I will say all the custom stuff, this is where I've kind of postured myself as my business. The majority of my residential and local small business stuff is with higher end clients. That money doesn't seem to be going away. They're still asking to buy and make stuff. And that is why I decided to invest in this CNC, which was expensive. It was an expensive investment. I mean, all tallied up, all said and done, it's probably like $75,000 in on that CNC. Yep. The reason was to get into kitchen cabinets or just cabinets in general, cabinetry. And that's not just cabinets for residential clients, but that's also commercial clients, and also making cabinets for local small cabinet shops who don't have CNCs. I'm already like working out deals with like five shops right now to be there. We're going to make all their cabinets and they're going to be ready to assemble. They'll either come send someone to pick them all up in their trailer, or we'll deliver them to their shop for them to go deliver to their, to install on site.
So you're just getting the pieces so and they assemble.
It was definitely an investment.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. So it's RTA. It's ready to go. I've got like, and then there's a couple that are not local. I've talked to three that are, one's in Arizona, one's in Pennsylvania, and one's in Delaware. And I'll be, Delaware. We're talking about me shipping out their pre-made stuff. So,
look at me, I'm Delaware. Sorry. Huh? Wayne's World. Wayne's World. No.
Oh, right. Yeah. So anyway, I think that it's definitely something to consider. I think it's definitely not a consideration. It scares me because I have employees and I have all this overhead and I have all these monthly costs that I have to have. I will say with Dan's point, he's in a much more flexible position to where he doesn't have to stress about it as much.
I'm just making inserts and bow ties in my garage. Like, I just don't see it affecting me a whole lot. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Like, I'm not worried about it affecting me so much as it is, and I don't want to like say this and have my employees hear this, but I'm more worried about it affecting them. Because if things slow down for me, I'm fine. If it slows down for the company, I don't know if they're fine. That's where it's like real scary for me. Even if we like went back to doing like 20% of the amount of work I'm doing right now, I would still be fine. I'd cover my overhead and make money, but I wouldn't be able to have employees. So that's not what I want. So I'm like on my computer. I'm on my computer all day long. Like Sean's building stuff, Matt's doing stuff. I'm literally selling work all day long, it seems like lately. I've gone from being able to make stuff to just selling as much as I can because I am scared. Like, I'm really scared that it's going to be a slowdown. So I'm trying to book out work through like next year as much as I can right now. So I'm just trying to take on as much as I can. And when I'm seeing a potential investment that could become a money stream, a revenue stream like veneer, I jump on them because if I need to sell veneer, people will want that veneer. If I need to do something to make some extra money, I'm going to find a way to do it. So that's just me being proactive. Pete?
Very, very good answer. I like that you mentioned especially employees, because some of our listeners do have employees or people working with them, and that's on a definitely consider. I can't, like this question, I can't help to think there was an interview of and of course it was a TikTok of some video or whatever, of this like older Amish gentleman. And they were like asking, are you ever worried about what's happening in the world or whatever? And he's like, I have not seen news my entire life. I did not know about the wars. I did not know about the attacks and like, you know, like 9/11 or wars happening in Iraq or whatever, or financial crises. And his life has never changed. It just continues being the same as it is. And I'm not downplaying what's happening
this
right now.
This is Kamani, you said?
No.
I'm sure.
It was an Amish person. It was,
yeah, Kamani.
It was Brett. He's from Amish country. But the reality is, like, even in our lifetime, there was a recession in the early 90s. Then 9/11 happens. Then the dot-com bubble bursts in 2002 or whatever. Then the 2007-08 recession happens. COVID happens. Then the financial market completely crashed post-COVID. Like, all of these things have happened in the last 20 years that have been, in a way, almost scarier than what we're going through right now. And again, I'm not downplaying what's happening right now, but we've come out of all of these. We've survived them. And in many instances, we didn't really change what we were doing, whether we're working our day jobs or whatever. So, you know, don't be aware of it, but don't be afraid of it. I don't think it's something that you really need to fear or need to like revamp your business. It's definitely smart to see like where things are going, but don't let it stress you out. I think it's a good time, just like anytime there's, you know, a little bit of a pinch with finances in the world, it's a good time to sit down and go, what does my shipping actually cost me? Or how much am I putting into material on this? It's a good time to like review, but I don't think it's a time to panic and just go across the board and raise your prices 20%. Now, granted, if your prices are low and very competitive, maybe, yeah, do that. Nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying there's no reason to jump into like a nuclear option with it. You know, be aware of it, but don't let it scare you. I think it's still business as usual. Yes, there's some craziness happening, and there is a lot of inflation right now, and the interest rates are going up. But for a lot of us, you know, we're able to source good material at a decent price again, and things have kind of leveled off, at least in our industry. And although financial markets are going a little crazy, like our market is kind of going back to normal a little bit, or leveling off at least post-COVID, which is
nice. I finally got walnut at sub $10 a
board. Yeah, reasonable prices. Finally. Exactly. So don't freak out too much, but definitely keep an eye on things, you know, and then always have a buffer of some cash in the bank for whatever, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Don't keep it in your sock drawer though.
Don't keep it in your sock drawer. But you definitely always
want to
have
somebody's
going to
rob you. They're
going to
die of a heart attack on the sidewalk. Exactly. Don't do it.
You need a rainy day fund for your business. And I think this is a time that it's especially important, because if a bank folds, or if your loan gets sold and they call your number and you got to pay up, that's happened to people before, small and large corporations. So, you know, it's always good to have a little bit of cash and working capital on you. You don't always want to be running your entire business on credit, you know. But that's, you know, again, get a financial advisor. That was kind of a long answer, but yeah, don't be afraid, guys. Don't be scared. It's okay.
I think, like, also, not everyone listening to this, but the people who are listening to this who do have a business very likely started their business during COVID when the economy was in a real tough time. So I would say that, myself included, we started at a time when it seemed like it was a bad time to start a business. So I think that you can I don't want to say this isn't going to become a thing, this economic situation, but I really lean towards Pete, where it's like, it feels like we're keep trying to pull out of this thing instead of just going like, God, it's a dead end crash. You know, it feels like we keep trying to pull out. It's not there, but it feels like it keeps trying to pull out. Also, keep in mind, we're about to go into the summer, and a lot of people start spending a lot of money in the summer. True, so I will notice that I observed, typically every year it's busy. It just, once April hits, and again, this is my second year in full-time business, so take that for what it's worth. But even when I wasn't full-time, April is when it would start getting busy, and it would get irrationally busier as the year went. And I would get into like the fall and towards like November, October, November, December, and it was just like, I have so much work, I can't possibly do this. That's what it felt like every year.
I think the nice weather makes people want to like change things and expand and do all these things with their homes and stuff, which we're all kind of like, we all make stuff for people's homes. So I think that helps a lot. Like in the winter and the fall, you know, people start getting this depressed, like cocoon hibernation phase. So,
but there's also the
Mike's
opposite
100% right.
Effect of like on Etsy, a lot of people tend to see a downturn around the summer if you're making products, because people are looking often for gifts and things for the holidays. It's kind of a busier time. And then when that wave ends, you're kind of coasting. And sometimes you do see a slowdown around this time of the year. And, you know, with all the scary stuff in the news and you seeing you're selling less on your website or through Etsy, it might seem scary, but keep in mind, it does fluctuate throughout the year. There's definitely busy and not busy seasons, depending on what you're selling. If you're selling like grad shirts and gifts for grads or for mom, dad, all the, like you're covering all the holidays, you probably won't see a slowdown. But if like you, let's say your main business is yard games, maybe you don't do well in a winter, but you do well in a summer. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, know your market, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, it's so hard to answer these questions for everyone because everyone's, I mean, honestly, even like in the downturn, California didn't get it as hard as the rest of the country. Like other parts of the country, like countries that make money and are like big exporters of products for the country, kind of keeps doing all right. You know, it was rough for sure for a lot of people. I'm not saying it was easy and downplaying what happened with the last downturn, but certain parts of the country just don't get hit as hard. Mm-hmm. Poor rural South gets beat to crap when these economic downturns happen. So, and I would consider that Florida. Sorry, Jake.
Ouch.
So yeah, I think that I actually have no idea about that economy out there. Obviously, I know nothing about it. So I just know that you guys can't get produce right now or any vegetables.
Yeah, so Florida's in a tough spot right now, and we won't get into why or the politics of it.
No, not at all.
Not to mention the Rhode Island financial crisis that's happening right now. That's
everybody knows
the constant Rhode Island financial process that happens. Just it's constantly it's a constant. Drain on our economy.
The whole country's carrying one state. just
the entire country's GDP could go up 37%. Just
let Great Britain have it back.
Offloaded Rhode Island to Mexico.
Let the UK take it back. They can have it.
No, I kind of like giving Rhode Island to Mexico. That's I'm going to Mexico. Oh yeah, what part?
Which
Rhode
one?
Island. Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, Mexico.
Yeah, the margaritas.
San Juan,
are
Rhode
rash.
Island.
Stupid.
Anyway, we have a couple of write-ins, yeah?
Oh, you do. Good call. Yeah, sorry. I completely forgot about those. The first one is from Matthew Hoff. That is not correct. No. It is from Jeff from Oklahoma.
I still say you should read the Matthew Hoff one because he says nice things about me.
He does
like
say
him.
Nice things.
Oh, okay. Jeff from Oklahoma just had a question for the podcast, if this is the right avenue for submission. My question is safety related for a new newish hobby woodworker. The ish threw me off. Had a recent near miss incident with a router bit breaking while operating a router table. Also recently watched Perkins Builder Brothers on YouTube, which one brother lost some fingers to a jointer accident. Ugh. Within the last 2 to 3 years.
Jointer, more what like separator. Am I right?
Okay. Ugh,
more like D. Glover. What
Glover?
Is this your scariest? What is your scary Donald Glover? That's my favorite Glover. That's Childish Gambino. What is your scariest incident or near miss? Besides just being more safety aware and basic PPE, what other precautions do you recommend for someone who can't afford a saw stop or other expensive safety equipment? Piot.
I guess I'll start with my closest call. I've had several router close calls, and they're always with like small parts or something that has like tight curves and stuff. And you know, it's so easy to get kickback on there if especially if you're trying yes. to take off a good amount. And even if you're not, sometimes just you know the bit just wants to do its thing. And like when I was doing all those ice climbing things, and my first thought was like, oh yeah, I'll just take it to the router table. After first one kicked, I was like, there's too many turns on this thing. I've had some like. Well, one time I was just like, you know, you slip up and your mind isn't thinking. And I was like brushing the sawdust off the table saw. And I did it once and I was like, that's running, you idiot. Like, I was just trying to get it off the table because it was going to be uneven. I've done that. And I was like, oh, this is so dumb. And, you know, it's something that you only do once and hopefully you learn from it and not. Learned the hard way.
Yodo.
Actually, Jackman just had like, he didn't get, his hands were okay, but he was like, went to like grab a piece and he did like a flip or something and it landed on the blade and it like flung. He did a
really?
Little, he did a little post about it. Or he was like, maybe it was a story that he was doing for editing because he was doing his cut and he did like
stories.
A flip and it ended up getting caught. But we've all had those issues. One that was really scary that was recent was, again, those stupid ice climbing things. And I was routing and the bearing, the inside of the bearing, because I was going for so long and it was getting so hot, it completely disintegrated. Like the bearings from the inside just shot out. And I went.
I do that too when I go long and get hot.
Again, there you go. And I ended up like going into the wood and like it like kicked really hard. And I was holding it in my, you know, holding a piece with one hand, holding a router with the other one. And I was like, what the hell? And it was just like the bearing disappeared. So I was just going into the piece. And that got real scary. But that's kind of been my closest calls. I always try to be, you know, just be as self-conscious as possible. Take your time. and be weary of, or be very aware of, not blindness, of like not hearing machines running. I can't tell you how many times when like the dust collection's running and everything's loud, complacency, but like I have my isotunes on or my headphones on because I'm playing it, whatever. And I went to make a quick cut on the bandsaw. And then like I walk past the bandsaw 2 minutes later and I go, that's still running. Like, I've done that. Yeah. Cause
with ear pods in.
When you have AirPods, some kind, yeah, when you like don't hear the machine running, it could, so make sure you're always turning off your machine and seeing, you know, I love the bandsaw because at least it has the stop break, but I must have just like flung it and didn't actually press it. So just be mindful of that. Be safe. Mike, you're in a shop nonstop using big tools. What's your tip?
Well, I would say that my closest call is similar, or I mean, definitely I've done what Pete was saying. Just like, I've done it on the router table where I was like, oh, there's dust on here. And I went to go fling. I'm like, oh, that is running. That'll take all the fingers off my hand.
I'm puckering. So
I've definitely done that. Yeah. And you're just like,
you get in like this autopilot mode and you just do things and you're not even,
and you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's just not an option. You have to pay attention. That's how accidents happen. And the saw stop does not have a break. So, or I mean, the router table does not have a saw stop break. So
imagine.
yeah, that thing would just,
dislodge and completely break off.
yeah. It would just shoot out and hit you in the stomach and start cutting. Anyway. In terms of like, besides PPE and safety, being safety aware, I mean, I think you want to keep first aid kit in the shop. You know, that's something you got to keep in the shop. Keep safety glasses around. I know they're lame to use, but they're good to use. I have glasses, so just like put them on. I have AirPods, the AirPod 2s, which do the noise canceling. They're not really actually noise canceling, though. Those are the, like, it's the fake noise canceling. The Isotunes are the ones that actually kill that external sound instead of manipulating a sound so it sounds like you don't hear it or something like that. These things will, like, over time will matter. I mean, I'm dealing with a hurt back right now. I've got, just from the last few years of lifting slabs and moving lumber all the time and just doing all these things and being physically active like that, I've got a bad back right now, and it's like a huge bummer. I'm having to like baby it nonstop. And that's not like I lost my finger, but that is like in a few years, if I don't take care of it, I can't move around.
Back problems are just as bad.
So, be mindful of all those things. And, you know, it's just something you got to do. I don't really have much else to say other than there's no like special thing I can think of you could buy to like, it's just really like be mindful, pay attention to what you're doing. Follow your procedures and practices. Like, you're done with the bandsaw, you turn off the bandsaw. You go to the next tool. You're done with that tool, you turn off the tool. I mean, it's just stuff you have to train your body to do.
I just pictured you as Dwight Schrute right then. What are the procedures, people?
P&P.
P&P. Dan, thoughts?
My closest call was the router table is also. I was doing the micro jig, like dovetail, the router portion, so I could use the dovetail clamps on a piece of oak. And yeah. And I started feeding it in the wrong way. So, you know, the bit spins a certain direction. What I think, I can't think of it
right. The American way, not Australian.
Yeah. So there's a certain direction you need to feed a piece into, like a dovetail bit like that, where it will automatically like kind of force the piece up against the fence. And I did it on the opposite side, and it wanted to rip it out of my hand, and it did. And it was just like I nearly pooped my pants. Mm. I'm pretty sure I did. And I think that's actually in a YouTube video that I released a while back. But it's funny that you actually called in with this question, because I forgot to bring this up in the what's on my bench portion. I tripped saw stop break today. So first of all, it's nice to know that that actually works. Secondly, Monday.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
nobody heard that. Secondly, that'll make you poop your pants as well. I had to change my shorts. That is a loud, sudden, thing. And when it happened, like, I was like, oh my God, what just happened? I had no idea. what turned out, it turned out that like I was using my miter gauge and I didn't tighten it down enough. I'd gotten it close to the blade, but it wasn't tightened enough. Mm-hmm. And as I pushed a piece through the blade, the miter gauge kind of like moved over a little bit and touched the blade, and that was that. And it just tripped, and oh my goodness. It just like caught me off guard, and I was like, oh my God, did I touch it? I didn't know what happened. So crazy. Always be mindful. Keep your mind focused.
I'm trying to remember what Sean just had happen. I mean,
didn't he trip the brake? He had a crazy kickback, right?
Oh, the piece got stuck in the clearance.
Yeah, it got stuck, and he shattered the phenolic insert that comes with the soft stop. So, phallic insert.
Oh, I will. Wait, I do actually have a little router table tip, or something to not do, which sometimes I see in videos and it's scary. When people, like, let's say they have a tray or something and they like go around the bit, like you don't want to be like behind, like you don't want the piece.
You don't
want
to be reaching over. Yeah.
You don't want the bit between the piece and that, because it's pushing in a different direction and you're not applying the same angle anymore. When I see people kind of go around, like, you're just asking for trouble. And especially if there's a fence between that, it's going to just want to bounce back and you're going to have a bad time. So always be you, the piece, router bit, and then you want to rotate it or run it along that edge. You never want to be kind of like go traveling around the bit, because it will catch. And one moment when you're like adjusting your muscles to like, you know, turn or something, it's going to catch you. So be safe.
I think that's a good, you know, general word of advice. Never be reaching over a spinning blade of any sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah.
I do it for sure sometimes, and I'm like,
And don't plunge cut on a table saw.
What? Was that
not a thing? It was. I remember Spags was rewatching like a This Old House or something, and he had a sheet of a 4x8 sheet of plywood, and he started a plunge cut on it.
And then, by dropping onto it?
Yeah. By like placing it gently like on a tilt. And Spags was like, you couldn't do this now. You can't do this in 2023. No.
I have a video of me making a pizza peel, and there's a piece that goes, I cut off the angled lip on the front of it. And I go past the saw and I flick it. And I don't know. There's like internet scientists are like, I calculated the pixels on the screen, and your finger's only an inch and a half away from the blade. I'm like, listen, I don't care what you calculated. My finger is at least 6 inches away from that blade. I was there. I
know
did
6 inches.
And
I see it every day. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, 6 inches. Literally, some guy in the community who was a follower of mine came in, rolls in, makes that joke, and then starts going off on me that I'm like, I'm creating a bad example for the community or whatever. Anyway, me and him got into it in the comments, and he like ended up blocking me or something like that. It was wild. It's like, dude, okay, whatever, dude. Like, it's just so funny to me, man. It's like,
oh, people get crazy.
I mean, it's the table saw stuff is hilarious. Like, I it's just nonstop. People, it's unreal. Like, yes, yeah, you're very much better at me than table sawing for sure. Good job, you did it.
He did. Yeah.
I've been teaching table saw usage for 23 years. Okay, yeah, prove it, guy. Let's see it. So, anyway, it's hilarious to me. Don't go chasing waterfalls, people in the shop.
It's no good.
It's no good.
It's good advice.
Yeah. No.
Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Oh, we got a thing from...
Oh, yeah, the last thing from Matt
Hoff. Yeah, Matthew Hoff, newest VIP patron. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. All right, guys, I have no questions for you, but I just wanted to say a few things. Mike, you definitely share a lot of good knowledge on this show. Peter, you give the show the motivation it needs. Dan, I'm not sure yet. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You, my friend, is... Oh, this is some weird grammar. I didn't read it wrong. I'm just kidding. You're definitely the heart of the show. Now that I have that out of the way, I need to go...
Because it's oversized, probably.
...out of my nose... And go to work. Oh, it's just him sucking up to us. Yeah. That was unnecessary.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
More of that, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No, please don't.
Anyways, big thanks to Matthew. of Matthew's fine Matthewing. Matthew Hoff. Matthew's Woodworks or something like that. I think that's the show.
Matthew's Lumber Co. That is the show. No offcuts this week. That's an offcut.
Lumber and mobile notary.
Mobile notary.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, we should have did the offcut. Oh, it's too late.
Oh, Dan, do you have that audio? Can you play
that?
Can you play it?
I might be able to put it in the editing. I won't do it now. Mike's controlling the audio. Yeah. It's just the whole thing.
I don't have that audio.
Yeah, you need to give him the audio.
Which one is it?
I don't know.
Is it? What did we decide?
Did we decide on like what's on my offcuts or something? I don't know.
No. We played something. If you,
because you've officially given me an offcut.
Yeah, it's that. But I actually recorded my voice saying offcuts. So
you an official here?
Yeah.
Because you have officially given me a
offcuts.
Offcuts.
All right. It's been a fun one.
It has.
Has it?
I haven't not had that fun.
I am a level 3 rogue gnome.
Offcuts.
What is that from?
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
It's General Grievous.
Yeah, but like we played that for an episode. What was that for?
Oh, it's because I was talking about, because Jackson used to negotiate everything with me. I'd play that. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm still going
to
kill you.
All right, I'm going to have to put in a bunch of clips here. You just do this on purpose because you hate me. I get it. It's fine.
No one does anything on purpose. It's just not a problem. No, I'm just kidding. You can just ignore that one. Yeah, that's the show.
Everyone that is a show. Great week. We just had a show.
Are we going to be back next week?
We are.
Are we going to be back to normal schedule?
Flippy floppy.
Yes, and I'm very excited. Next week, our guest is going to be announced probably Wednesday or Thursday real late. So stay tuned. 4
p.m. Pacific. Stay tuned. 4 p.m. Pacific. Find out who the guest is.
We'll see. We got to get somebody good.
Gotta get. Jesus, what was that?
That was very wet burp.
Was that Pete?
That was me.
Like, good Lord, Homer you're the good guy of this group. You can't be doing that stuff.
I'm the good guy. Pretty sure every complaint we've ever gotten was about me.
That's true.
And Keith.
Well, mostly Keith. We fired him though.
And then we had him back on a show.
Let's get out of here. This is getting ridiculous.
Okay, bye. See you guys next time.
Now
okay.
Toodles.
Be sure to share the show, please. Thank you.
Share the show. Check everyone out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok.
And Space Hay.
Also, the other one that's out there.
Love you long time.
Lemonade.
Lemonade? No, there's a new one. It's called The Clapper.
Oh.
Not only does it turn off lights, but it's a social media app now.
Mike, it's an actual thing. Like, it sounds ridiculous. But there's people that actually hopping on it, and I'm like, no, I don't need another one.
Remember that Clubhouse?
Man, people are Mike.
People are
Mike,
still on Clubhouse.
Look at me. People are still on Clubhouse actively.
Six people being on an app does not mean it's still a thing.
All of it went downhill when they let Android users get on there.
That's true.
Completely ruined it.
That's
what happened to Rhode Island. They let Android users in.
Started selling Android phones.
Actually, the Androids were developed.
They banned iPhones in Rhode Island.
Oh, is that it?
Went downhill. No.
Bandroid.
Bandroids.
All right, we'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
Love you. Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye.
I already said love you long time. I'm not saying anything.
Pocket!